Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2011. Lecture 12, delivered on October 5, 2011. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 1.
Today, Review for Exam 1. Exam 1 will have three parts to it. Traditionally, all of my exams are three-part exams. Part one is multiple choice or multiple guess, depending on how you want to approach it. Part two, workout problems. Part three, short essay. Let me take you through the grinder here, and I'm going to tell you what I have to say, and then you are free to ask me, is this going to be on the exam? Is that going to be on the exam? What is life? How much? At what risk? Who farted? You can ask me those questions. Part one, multiple choice. It's probably the broadest, and it's the least where I have the least ability to tell you very specifically. I can give you some specific questions. I will definitely, in the multiple choice, have you price a one-year T-bill. Find the yield, I'm sorry, on a one-year T-bill. Remember I showed you how to do that? That would be a multiple-choice question. Excuse me. In the multiple-choice, you would also, one that I classically give is I give you a list of ratio values. I say, this company has these ratios. Which one of those is of most concern to you? Kind of question. Now remember that ratios, most of the time, a ratio could be too high or it could be too low. There are warning signs. Some are critical, and a couple of them would be just red flags. Something is really seriously wrong here with the ratio. Another, obviously, in the multiple choice section, I could hit you with technical questions about the Federal Reserve. Well, how many Federal Reserve chairmen there are? Those are almost gimmies. It's just memory work. You'll have more than a few memorization kinds of questions in the multiple choice. That's where I can get those done, get that taken care of. As far as other multiple choice questions, I can address technical matters, for example, the three branches of finance, financial management, investments, financial institutions, which of these is not part of the list. I could also hit you with some questions about cost in that. Sometimes you'll see a question in the multiple choice, and there will be a variation on that question in the short essays. And sometimes you can get a clue as to how to attack the essay question by looking carefully at what the right answer is in the multiple choice section. I tend to do that once in a while. So keep in mind that once you've finished with the multiple choice section, you might find that it is beneficial for you to remember how you answered there for some of the essay questions. But that's a multiple choice. It's more of a freewheeling, covering memory work kinds of questions, very basic kinds of technical calculations, that kind of thing. Now, the workout section. On late Friday night, I will post the financials of a company, along with some supplemental information. That will be the basis for two questions in the workout section. If you know what financials are for and what that extended information would be used to get, you should be able to acquire enough knowledge to nail two of the questions in the workout. Specifically, I'll give you a Fortune 500 company's financials. Make sure that it's the kind of financials that have all the right the ratios I want. So obviously, ratio analysis probably is something you should do. You should carry it out like a boss on those financials. You have all of Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. You don't go anywhere on those days anyway. You all stay home reading your Bibles, so or not. But anyway, you have plenty of time to crank it out. The extended information, I'm going to project probability scenarios for the sales and other numbers for the next year. Now, what do you suppose that would be for? You know, have any clue?
Ratios?
I could do that, but... I'll give you probabilities of sales for different for the next period. There's a 0.5% chance that the sales will be this, 0.8% chance that the sales will be that, etc. What would I use that for? What did we do with that in class? Huh? You'll have to figure that one out. Starts with a V. Oh, I love it when you talk dirty. Yes. Yes. Volatility. By the way, you are permitted on my exams a 4x6 card. Now, don't make the damn thing so tiny, the writing, that you can't read it. Yeah. Inches. I had this one. I mean, he had way too much skill with Photoshop or something. He had made a card, written it out at what was 18x12 inches, and then he reduced it down to print and cut out a 4x6 card. I mean, the printing was so tiny, he called me over. He said, can you read what I got there? Well, get away from me, you weirdo. No. A 4x6-inch card, you can put whatever you want on either side. The purpose of that is, here's something about it. I'm not a nice person, so I'm not doing this to be a nice person. One of the purposes of those cards is that is one of the best ways to focus your ass on your study. What you need, this. And also, the reality of it is, out there in the RW, I mean, all of us financial people, we had books of ratios and techniques and methodologies right there in front of us. So if we needed something we couldn't remember, we just pulled down the book anyway. And that's just the way it is in most subjects is, I mean, you always have your resources there with you anyway, even in crisis situations. Now, I'm also going to ask you, it's hard for me to tell you, well, there are going to be 5 questions in the workout section, but the problem is that some of them are going to be multi-part questions. Like, I could give you some basic information and then ask you, what's the present value of an annuity and annuity due? I am going to ask you something along the lines of finding me some present values, future values. Lump sums, annuities, annuities due. Make sure you know how to do it on your calculator. Remember house rules here, by the way. With ratios, you need to tell me the answer to 2 decimal places and give me the right units. You lose half of the credit, even if you get the right number, if either of those isn't there. 2 decimal places and with the right units. Percent, times, dollar. Don't just give me a number and they then say, here's your damn number. Give me the right units as well. I have a famous story. I was in a business meeting once. There was this really hotshot junior executive. This was back before most people were doing PowerPoint. He had PowerPoint slides showing all of these bar graphs and all this. It was a wowing seminar, and the fellow who was sitting next to me, at one point, he had this bar chart with these numbers at the time. He said, what are the units of those numbers? And the poor son of a bitch didn't know. He didn't know. Well, there was a 635. What is that? Well, that's got to be dollars. It's got to be. What kind of dollars? Thousands? Millions? And he was just stopped dead. His face was red. He couldn't tell right off the top of his head. Give me the units. Give me the two decimal places. And I'm also just very straight up. I'm going to have you tell me a loan payment. Okay? Just make sure you know how to do it. I will have you tell me a loan payment. I'm going to have you tell me an effective yield. Okay? Know how to do these things. I'm telegraphing my punches. You need to show me that you can respond and get out of the way of the punch and major in something like English instead. Okay, that's enough. I've given you so much about that. I mean, you're not going to respect me in the morning. As if you would have anyway, you cheap sons of bitches. Anyway, let's talk essays. This is why I do my walk around. I'm just going to walk around the classroom throwing out possible questions. Remember, some of these might show up as your essays. In the essay section, I give you five questions or five problems. You answer four of them. Choose four of the five. Don't answer all five. Don't do that to me. You give me four. You'll have spaces for four answers. You give me four answers. One sentence only, and it's got to be a complete, grammatically correct sentence. Don't blow me off with textbook language. Write the way you will in a business environment as if you are trying to become something more than a low-level worker. Communicate effectively to me. Let me go through a few things that I might ask. Now, these are not guaranteed, but you very well might see some of these on that essay part of the exam. What is financial intermediation? Explain opportunity cost. Are sunk costs important in finance? What is the relationship between risk and return? How would the domestic trading desk reduce the federal funds rate? What is the relationship between effective yield and number of compounding periods per year? What is meant by non-diversifiable risk? What are the three principal branches of finance? How are surplus and deficit economic units brought together in a capitalist system? That's enough. How are surplus and deficit economic units brought together in a capitalist system? I mean, is there a loan fairy that comes around matching them? What's the mechanism? Now, you'll notice that some of these are technical, some of them are more theoretical. And that's going to be the case. And always, if you don't know an answer to one, don't try to fight it. And this is, by the way, I am hoping that you have heard this before about multiple choice questions. If you don't know how to attack a multiple choice question, go around it. Just keep going. Don't hit a question and then just slog it and hope that you can figure out how to get it done. Move efficiently, maximize your points on one of my exams. typically on the first exam, you're going where you're going to have your biggest problems will be in the multiple choice and in the short essays. And then you improve in those areas on the second exam, and by the final, you're doing them like an expert. And that's part of the process of this class, and especially with me, is that when you come out of here, you are awfully good at getting these kinds of exams and responsiveness done. So it's a process, and you will, I promise, get your butt kicked, especially in the essay questions at first. And you're going to go out and you're going to try to find my car and slash my tires. And so that's why I'll be parking off campus when I hand back the exams. But the essays are challenging, and you're going to think, well, I've given him the answer, and I'm going to come back to you and say, your answer sucks. I won't do it. Oh, yes, I will say that. Work with it. Know that by the end, if you follow the rules and understand what I'm doing, you're going to be doing fine in my class. And it's difficult in the first. And the multiple choice can get you. I warn you about that. I don't want to jinx you, but the multiple choice can drain you. It sounds like 20 questions, no problem. That actually can be the, not the hardest part of the exam, but it can be the part that drains you and exhausts you. So that, pace yourself. You have the 1 hour and 15 minutes for it. You've got more than enough time to accomplish this, especially since you know the technical part of the exam, actually the workout part, that's where you'll do your best, most of you. That's the part that you've been learning how to do. You're in business because you have some greater or lesser degree of technical, quantitative skill. You're our pride. And so that middle section is where you will do your best. It's in that first section, and especially in that last section, that I turn you from business students into business professionals. Now it's your turn. Ask me questions. Go ahead. Make my day. Good question. I would never ask you something that was in the textbook that I had not at least touched on in class. Never. I have given you outside readings, but lecture is where I focus. I want to be the center of your lives. No, I don't. But especially if you need money. But yeah, that's an excellent question. These lectures, I do what is needed for the exam in the lectures. The podcasts are a very good resource. I know it's probably going to be impossible to go through all. There would be 12 podcasts. I don't know if you could go through those. But it might not hurt to go through some of the earlier ones, especially for that more generalized material about what finance is, how the Federal Reserve works, and theory of markets, which was what was happening in the first lectures 1 through 4, primarily. That might not hurt to try to go back through those podcasts. But other than that, be sure to go to your notes. They are an excellent resource. That does not mean you ignore the textbook. I parallel the textbook, and that textbook is there for a reason. Otherwise, I wouldn't be having you buy something. But focus on what I have taught you. Okay? I know what I'm doing. Go ahead.
What chapter is in the textbook? Because your website still says chapter.
I know. I got blocked on my website. I couldn't get in there for about a week and a half except to put podcasts up. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is it 6 as well? Time value of money. I didn't bring my textbook. I left it in my office today. I'll put it up on the website for you. But go up to the time value of money. I do not do the entire time value of money chapter before the exam. I do lump sums and annuities, but I don't do perpetuities and some of the extended stuff. Oh, by the way, make sure you also know your CAPM, Capital Asset Pricing Model. I forgot, I should have mentioned that. Yeah.
Okay, the desk
Yes.
So wouldn't that change, that would change the supply?
Good.
On the quiz we took, it said...
Wait, it would change the supply.
The supply, therefore changing the demand.
Well, okay, what are we doing? The Fed.
The Fed
is buying treasuries. The domestic trading desk traders are doing what? How are they entering the open market? They are buying. Is that a supply action or is that a demand action? Okay, everyone goes to the store and wants to buy Barbie dolls. Demand is going which way? Up or down? Demand is going up. What is demand of anything going up cause price to do? Go up. What does that mean the yields are doing?
We're going down.
Good. That would be the T-bill action. If we were talking about the federal funds rate, however, it's another story. In the federal funds market, as the traders are buying T-bills, what are they giving the banks in exchange for the banks' T-bills? Money. Where is that money going? Yeah, but where is that money going? Well, where do the banks put it? Do they put it under the mattress? In what?
The reserve ratio.
No, what is it? The federal funds market. That's where their bank... Okay, so money is flowing into the federal funds market. If the federal funds market is flooding with money, is that a supply or a demand action that's happening in the federal funds market if money is flowing in? If money is flowing into the federal funds market, is that a supply action or a demand action?
Supply.
Yes. And so in the federal funds market, the supply of federal funds is increasing. As the supply of federal funds increases, that's the lendable funds market. So as the supply of lendable funds increases, what happens to the price of lendable funds? And what do we call the price of lendable funds? No. The federal funds rate. That's why the Fed, the Federal Reserve, cannot set the federal funds rate, but it can affect it by effectively moving the supply of lendable funds out. It drives the price of the federal funds, lendable funds, the banks can lend to other banks and to businesses and people, down. You got to watch it because there's two different parts to this problem. There's the Fed's open market operations have two different effects. They have an effect through the increase in demand on treasury bill rates, which affects the risk-free rate, which affects all rates as a result. On the other hand, it also, this action is increasing supply in the lendable funds market, the federal funds market. And as it does that, it is, if it's an expansionary operation, then that brings the price of lendable funds down. The price of the lendable funds in the federal funds market is the federal funds rate. It's no guarantee, of course, that it's going to happen. That's why it's a target that they're doing.
Because the demand for the treasury bills
first,
that's why the demand is shifting.
That's for T-bills. So both of them have the same action. They're moving different interest rates. One's moving the yields on T-bills downward. The other is moving the federal funds rate downward. So they're having the action on both of them. And of course, in concert with that, they would probably be lowering the discount rate as well. So there's almost a three-part action that's going on. They're using heavy-duty levers to push down interest rates and to try to hold them down. However, what is the result in the long run of an excess of money growth over the real growth rate of the economy? Inflation. That will be something you will know by the end of this semester. Now, also in that same regard, as inflation increases, what is more dangerous to an economy than inflation? Expected inflation. Because once the expectation builds in, the Federal Reserve has to drain not just liquidity, but the expectation of liquidity. And that is the harder job, because once the markets have abandoned their credibility in Fed claims, then it takes more actions by the Fed and longer for the Fed to convince the markets that it's serious. And that means that the economy has to suffer high interest rates longer in contractionary monetary policy. And in that same vein, by the way, with interest rates, I did want to mention, make sure you know the risk structure of an interest rate, what a risk-free rate is what comprises a risk-free rate. Solid questions, though, so far. What else do you want? I'm trying to think. Also, yeah. That's your 4x6 card. That's your 4x6. That's what that's for, is whatever you want to put on it, you put on it. You work out those problems, that's where that would go. You work out those problems I post. All of that goes on that sheet. Don't put it on your hand. Don't put it on your ass. Put it on that sheet. Okay? Both sides. I'm not going to walk around trying to flip your damn card over. What else? Yeah.
Should we put the ratios on the different one, or just all on one card?
It's all on one card. You get one card. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, those are blacked out. Those are blacked out. Some people figured out how to print those things. They weren't supposed to be able to do that, which pisses me off. But those are blacked out now. You can come over and to my office hours before class on Monday, sure. What else do we have? Yeah. What specifically are you referring to?
Different acts and stuff.
Oh, you mean like the, what act was I talking about?
Yeah.
Well, can you give me an example of one? What? Glass-Steagall, yes. I also brought up some securities. Say that again. Sarbanes-Oxley. These were very light mentions of these, so they'd obviously not be, well, tell me Article 3, Chapter, Section 2. It would be more, what does this have to do with? And also, remember I brought up K's and Q's. You remember that? And so I might bring up, these would be lightweight questions. They wouldn't be deep, detailed questions. I will get into securities law in a little more detail at subsequently in this course, because it's an area where you have a good chance of intersecting with it in your professional lives. And it's an area where if you make a mistake, you could actually be run afoul of the law, selling securities, unregistered securities, and non-exempt transactions. So I will get into it in more detail. But as far as now goes, I mentioned the Federal Reserve Act, obviously. And I also mentioned Glass-Steagall, Securities Act of 1933, Securities Exchange Act of 1934. I mentioned those acts and just very light detail on them. I would go into a lot more detail if you had me in a business law class, but here it'll be fairly light. And for this exam, I might say, okay, Glass-Steagall was about A, securities, B, insurance, C, banking. And I also, do you remember, there was a term that I used about Glass-Steagall. What's the term we use for how it used to be that there was a separation between banking and investment banking and all insurance? What did I call that separation? Do you remember the term that the old school term? We called it the Chinese Wall. It's gone. When was Glass-Steagall repealed? 1999. And if you recall, since 1999, all hell has broken loose. Go ahead.
You said there's 20 multiple choice.
Yes. That's what I had said is, it's, you know, I can say, well, there's 5 workout problems, but they're multiple parts. So that's one of the things is I might give you some basic data and then be able to hit you with, you know, lots of different things that could be used that for it.
What is the point breakdown of it? Like,
20, actually, I've got the exam right here. I ought to put up on the overhead for everyone to see. No, I won't do that. will give you a hottie symbol on rate my professor. No. The multiple choice are 2 points each. The four essays are 5 points each. And then the workout problems are 40 points total. Like I said, I can't break that part down anymore because there's multiple parts, different points for them. Now, the one thing that you will see is that I give you enough muscle in the body where you do the best. The 40 points for the workout will save your bacon because usually you won't do so strongly in the essays on the first exam. That's why they're only worth only 20 points on the first one. And then the balance begins to change a little bit with exam two and the final. So, but at the first one, I know you're not going to do quite as well on the short essays. That's why they're worth only 20 points. Don't blow them off, though, for God's sake, because they do get more important. So you need to know how to get get answers that make me happy. I'm glad you asked that. I'd forgotten to give you your point allocations. What else? Yeah. You will not have to do accounting on the exam. You will have to understand accounting. Of course, that's just part of finance. But I'm not going to have you do something like I did in that quiz. I have to do that because I have to give the salute to accounting. But for exam purposes, no. You need to use financial statements. You know where to find the information that's necessary for me. For if I asked you for a debt-to-asset ratio, you need to know what I said about debt. Remember what I said about debt? You don't. Go, huh? Does anyone remember what I said about looking for debt on a balance sheet? Yeah. Oh, well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought up. Don't forget the notes of the financial. I might even ask you something about that. But what about on the balance sheet itself? What should you look for? If you're looking for debt, what do people miss? No. Notes payable. Don't just look for long-term debt. Make sure you go up to the current liabilities and look to see if there's any debt hiding there. Because I will have, if I ask you for a debt-to-asset ratio, I will expect you to give me the total debt to assets, not just long-term debt. Because some companies try to shift their debt up into the short-term so that it doesn't appear in the long-term debt part of the financial statements. Also, by the way, with respect to ratio analysis, I could very well have you do give me, as one of the things that I ask in that part, wait. I know, right? No, that was... Wait. Oh, yeah, I know. It's like... Whoa. Oh, thank God. Yep, never does work. That's scope, and it doesn't work well with bile. It's also not a good idea to get it, have it hit your face where you've shaved either. Mm. What the hell was I talking about? No, really, I can't remember.
You're talking about the debt and how people miss notes.
Yes. And also, don't forget, I could ask you to give me a change in a ratio, a percentage change in a ratio. Make sure you know how to do those. Or even just a percentage change in sales. I want you to know how to do that because those percentage changes are crucial to knowing what's really happening. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, I do give partial credit. Yeah. I mean, it's not right or wrong. I warn you, though, generally speaking, obviously multiple choice is right or wrong. In the workout problems, it's... right, half right, or wrong. on the workout problems. In other words, if it's a technical flaw, you didn't give me the number of decimal places right, you didn't give me the right units, write them down, you're going to lose half the credit. Also, you could lose half the credit if you get an answer that is just a little too far off. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.